Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Yes.
Yes.
Svatmanidam,
Svatmanidam,
Nija,
Nija,
Maya Yarpitam,
Maya Yarpitam,
Kvachid,
Kvachid,
Vibhatam,
Vibhatam,
Kva,
Kva,
Cha,
Cha,
Tat,
Tat,
Tirohitam,
Tirohitam,
Avidha,
Avidha,
Drik,
Drik,
Sakshi,
Sakshi,
Ubhayam,
Ubhayam,
Tad,
Tad,
Ikshate,
Ikshate,
Sa,
Sa,
Atma,
Atma,
Mulo,
Mulo,
Vatu,
Vatu,
Mam,
Mam,
Parat,
Parat,
Paraha,
Paraha.
Yasvatmanidam nijamaya yarpitam.
Yasvatmanidam nijamaya yarpitam.
Kvachit vipatam kvachatat tirohitam.
Kvachit vipatam kvachatat tirohitam.
Avidha drikshakshubhayam tarikshate.
Avidha drikshakshubhayam tarikshate.
Saatma mulo vatumam parat para.
Saatma mulo vatumam parat para.
Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, by expanding his own energy, keeps this cosmic manifestation visible and again sometimes renders it invisible. He is both the supreme cause and the supreme result, the observer and the witness in all circumstances. Thus he is transcendental to everything. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead give me protection. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has multipotencies. Parasya shaktir vividhaiva shruyate. Therefore, as soon as he likes, he uses one of his potencies, and by that expansion, he creates this cosmic manifestation. Again, when the cosmic manifestation is annihilated, it rests in him. Nonetheless, he is infallibly the supreme observer. Under any circumstances, the Supreme Lord is changeless. He is simply a witness and is aloof from all creation and annihilation. So Gajendra is a devotee here in a distressful situation, disturbing situation. So he is trying to work out what to do. He has tried his own strength, you know, for 1,000 years. It's very powerful. And all his friends and relatives, they also tried, but none of it worked. And so he is seeing that whatever was there in the material world, his position and his own physical power that is there, and then all the subtleties of his position in society, his friends, his well-wishers, and then ultimately his own intimate family members, his wives. None of these could save him. So only after that, then one has a tendency to turn to the Lord. So this is one of the platforms of the devotee. That when there is anxiety or distress, then he turns to the Lord. But we see there's a tendency is when nothing else works. We see that a very common theme is that the demigods and others, then they have so much problems. But in the beginning, then they are confident of their own prowess, their own abilities, their own intelligence, you know, their own discretion, that they will perform these activities and correct the situation, and then everything will be okay. But we see that the material world, she has more things that happen to us than we have solutions for. So then at some point, then we run out of solutions. Then the pious person surrenders to the Lord, like that. Of course, in the advanced stage, then we don't have that confidence in our own ability. We don't have that confidence in our own intelligence, our body, the mind. But we have confidence in the Lord because He knows, we know He's the source of all these things. So then, as we advance, then instead of taking shelter of the Lord when all else fails, then we take shelter before that time, just before we even start an activity, before anything. By His grace, it will be successful. Then as we advance more, then we understand that whatever pleases Him, whether Gajendra is saved or not, if what's pleasing to Him, is what should happen. Right? Here, Gajendra is making the plea that you please save him. So then, if the Lord likes, He will. If He doesn't, He won't. But the point is it's based on His own desires. Then, eventually, and His own lack of His own abilities, so therefore we turn to a higher authority. More advancement is when we turn to the higher authority immediately. And the most is where that dependence on that higher authority is not just in times of distress, but for anything, anything good, anything bad, any situation. We're not worried by any of these things. We're not disturbed by any of these things. So that is the higher platform, because everything is coming from Krishna. Everything is dependent upon Krishna. He is seeing everything. He is establishing everything. So there's nothing separate from Him. So the tendency is that we will decide this is good, this is bad. Then, depending upon that, then we may depend upon Krishna that it's good, or depend upon Krishna that the bad thing will correct itself and become good. But this is because we have a desire that something nice should happen here, right? Something good should happen. So we're discriminating. We are establishing that this is good. If the result, like Gajendra is, if I am saved, that is good. Therefore, I can't do it myself. I depend upon the Lord. So this is a devotional attitude, but the beginning stage. Then we see later that this attitude is then different, because in the material world, what's connected to Krishna is good, and what's not connected to Krishna is bad. Therefore, on the material platform, there is no good and bad. Nothing's good, nothing's bad. Because if we remember Krishna, we're taking shelter of Krishna, that is good. If Krishna is pleased, that is good. So then, the living entity at that stage does not see any difference. I think Janani Vasguru is sort of more forward. We do not see that this is good or not. So it's simply what will please the Lord. And then we take it from there. What will happen? It's like it is said that the pure devotees, they have all abilities, all material facilities are there. All mystic siddhis are there. There's nothing lacking. But we see they never use them. Because they want to see what is Krishna's desire. How does He want it to unfold? How will it manifest? And then because of this, then everything becomes wonderful. So the devotee, in the beginning, then he will make judgments that this is good. Body being maintained is good. You know, all my facilities is good. But we see that to create that surrender, then sometimes if it's coming naturally, then no problem. Because whether it's nice or not, it doesn't matter. However Krishna wants it to manifest, He will manifest it, and the situation will be nice or not nice. But the devotee finds everything's nice. No problems. But if we're not so advanced, we generally tend to see that pious results are good. Impious results are not good. Therefore, when an impious result is there, we want it to be corrected. We want it to become good. We want it to become pious. But we will depend upon our own abilities, our own intelligence, our own influence, something we will depend upon. So then we see Krishna, therefore, to establish that relationship between us and him, because that's the only real relationship that will give any satisfaction, then he may have to start taking things away. Only when he's taken things away, then we will decide, yes, now it's time to surrender to the Lord. Otherwise, if we have some ability on our own, we have a tendency to not surrender. We have a tendency that I will arrange it, I will make things happen. So because of this, then where's the relationship? Krishna's sitting there waiting, but we are not turning to him. We are not depending upon him. We're not waiting to see how he wants things to go. It's just a matter of one depends upon one's body, mind, and words. And then one, if it's successful, one thinks, yes, I am so expert. One becomes more confident, more proud, more, you know, satisfied that he has some good intelligence or good mind or good body. But when Krishna takes these away, then we find, the pious person turns to Krishna. And then the relationship starts, real relationship. Otherwise, the relationship is with what? The material energy. When we depend upon our own intelligence and body, it's made of material energy. So therefore, the relationship is with the material energy, not with anyone else. Right? So actually what's happening is the living entity is thinking, by my energies, I will expand everything, I will enjoy everything, I will control everything, direct everything. But here Gajendra is pointing out that actually it's Krishna who is expanding everything, controlling everything, seeing everything, observing everything. And he's seeing untiredly. Right? Means we see for a while, observe, we get tired. Krishna never gets tired. He always sees. He always observes. He's always creating, maintaining, destroying. It's always going on. So he never, no problem. So we are creating this relationship with the material energy through this false ego, thinking that we are controlling it. So Krishna then takes away those things. And when he takes them away, then there's no other alternative for the pious person but to turn to Krishna. There's no other alternative. There's nothing else. There's all there's, we know, okay, there's so many things. And we've tried all those things, and they all failed. So therefore, all that's left is God, who has created all this. So if we turn to him, that begins our relationship with him, which actually begins the beginning of our being happy, being satisfied. Otherwise, before that, there's no satisfaction. There's no satisfaction. It seems like satisfaction, but it's satisfaction in the modes of passion and ignorance. And those never give any lasting satisfaction. Passion ends very quickly, and ignorance with time, we start to find that it's not giving us any happiness either. Right? But, yeah. So we should see from this that this is something good. Adverse conditions are never bad. Losing things are never bad. Being in an unfortunate situation is never bad. For us personally, to make spiritual advancement, it's not. It's not a problem for us. Though generally we judge things on how nice they are. If it's good, good reaction, good, then we think it's good. And if it's not, then it's not. So that's okay as a platform of judgment if Krishna is the one we're comparing it with. Right? If it's okay, it's Krishna's result. Therefore, if it's good, then it's good. I perform service nicely. And if it's bad, means I'm not surrendered enough, sincere enough. Therefore, I didn't get a good result. So then that's nice. In other words, standard must always be compared to Krishna. What should be done? Okay, well, what's Krishna's standard for what should be done? Right? What's intelligent? What is Krishna's standard of intelligence? What is emotion? What is Krishna's standard? What is food? What is dress? What is living? What is activities? What is all that we seek. Well, what is Krishna's standard? And then according to that, then we behave. Then it is good. But if Krishna is not the standard, then the standard will simply be our own mind, our own desires, and that's no standard at all. You know, it's always changing, always moving, always creates a problem. But if it's Krishna's standard, then it's good. So then we see that if it's Krishna's standard, then this mentality is fine. Because anyway, then we will see Krishna is giving result because he's pleased. Krishna is not giving result because he's not pleased, because we're already surrendered. There's no need to take things away to make us surrender. When we're not surrendered, then he takes away. Then by taking away, then we surrender. Right? But if we're already surrendered, like we see Bali Maharaj, then he can be given everything. Right? Because he doesn't require it, he doesn't need it. His relationship's with Krishna. Right? So if Krishna's there, then all opulence is there, everything is there. All potencies, everything is going nicely. But he's only interested in Krishna, he's not interested in the opulence. So this is the interesting, you know, dilemma that's there. When we want it, you can't get it. And when you don't want it, then you can have it. Right? That's just the way it is. So the sooner we accept that, the sooner we'll be in less anxiety. Like that. Because Krishna has it all. And he's not attached. So the living entity is part and parcel of him. So the living entity can also only be satisfied in such a condition. Like that. In detachment. So the real satisfaction is relationship. So when that relationship is established with Krishna, when that relationship is established with the devotees, right, and we see everything in relationship to Krishna, then we are happy. That's the real satisfaction, not anything else. That's the illusion. We think the thing itself is what's making us happy. We see Krishna enjoying with the devotees. We think, I want to enjoy like that. But what is Krishna enjoying? He's enjoying the rasa. He's not enjoying the facilities. Right? That's not what he's enjoying. He's enjoying the devotion. So, therefore, in the material world, then we try very hard for the facilities because we feel that's what will make us happy. And then if we're a little bit more improved, then we may enjoy the emotions that are there. But still, devotion is not the platform. It is not. One may be devoted in a relationship, but it's still on the material platform. It's not actually transcendental devotion. So the rasa is not complete. It's not full. It's not actually transcendental. So it can't satisfy the soul. It may satisfy the mind, but not the soul. So here Gajendra is then remembering the Lord, taking shelter of the Lord, and in this way then benefiting himself, and then we are also benefited. Is anything done for the Lord, then it's beneficial for everyone. So it's recorded here in Srimad Bhagavatam for us to take advantage of. Any questions on this? Comments? Yes.
Many times, when we have to
act, and the dilemma is there,
that
how much it depends on your own strength, it's like a battle of the Kurukshetra, and how much it depends on the Kurukshetra, and how much it depends on the Kurukshetra. You could hear? What you're saying is, when you have to do something, then the dilemma is how much do you act? Like, how much do you depend upon your own strength, and how much do you depend upon Krishna? So this is an essential point. First point is to understand whose strength is it? Is it your strength? And then the ability to use that strength. Right? Therefore is the pastime of Arjuna. After the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he's already defeated Drona, Bhishma, Karna, all these great Ashwatthama, great Maharathis, like that. No one's more powerful than them at the time. There were no other kings. They were the biggest. He's defeated them all. He's also defeated Gandharvas. He's gone to the heavenly place. He's done so many things. But he is bringing all the queens from Dwarka to back to Hastinapur. And then a bunch of cowherd men with sticks, right? Not swords, not javelins, not bows and arrows, you know, imbued with mantras. Sticks. Wooden sticks. Not some special mystic sticks, just wooden sticks. They come and take all the girls away. Right? These mantras you can chant. You can do so many things. It's not that one arrow only has to go to one person. You can divide the arrows up amongst all the people. You can create all kinds of astras that will affect many people, a whole battlefield. Right? You know, like that. It's you want it to hit one, it'll hit one. You want it to hit 10,000, it'll hit 10,000. Right? So if 16,000 cowherd men come along, one arrow, one mantra, he could take care of all of them, no problem. But he can't do anything. He just has to sit there and watch while all the girls are all taken away. So that is because we think it is our strength, my body, my mind, my intelligence, my ego. Oh yes, they have said this to me. I am insulted. I am insulted, right? What is it? So since when is the ego yours? You know, and this person speaks so illogically. My intelligence, you know, is so. Or this person's so emotional, can't control their mind. My mind is like that. Means we are given this as our quota, so that we may perform activities in this world. But the activities we're supposed to perform are by Krishna's direction. Therefore, in the beginning, we engage our strength in Krishna's service. And as we advance more, then we understand that by Krishna's grace, we may be able to use the strength that He gave us in His service, by His blessing. Right? It's a difference. This is the difference between sakam and nishkam. Right? Sakam is, it's mine, I use it for Krishna. Nishkam is, it's Krishna's. But Krishna has given this to me, and He wants me to, I have to perform, I'm a servant, I must perform activities. So I have this body, so therefore I use this body in Krishna's service. If I have a spiritual body, I'll use that in Krishna's service. Right? So the mentality is the important thing. Then the form is simply the next stage. You want to serve Krishna, then you serve through the body. Serve with the mind, serve with the intelligence. So that's the next stage. Right? So in the beginning we think it's ours, but later we think it's Krishna's. Right? So that's the difference. So, but in the beginning we want to use it for Krishna, that we're thinking how to use it for Krishna. This is devotional service, so this is how we should start. Right? If we just get things done without thinking of Krishna, that's useless. But the whole idea is that we understand that it's not a matter of, we have a tendency to think, well, spiritual life means doing nothing. So if I'm totally dependent on Krishna and let Him do everything, I'll just sit there and do nothing. But this is the concepts of jnana and yoga. Right? Some mystic thing will happen, that's yoga. And nothing will happen, that's jnana. And karma is, I will get it done. So we see we're entangled in all these three. Therefore, Krishna gives a perfect solution, is you take your activities with proper understanding, then you engage it in Krishna's service, so that yoga is there. Then it becomes perfect. So that's the recommended process. But in any case, try to connect it to Krishna. That's the main thing. Whatever comes naturally, But we should always know what the higher standard is. That's why these things are so clear. Because it's mentality. We can see it's not the externals. That's not really what's important. It's the devotion which is done. So same way as we see the Varnashram system. The externals of it aren't the important thing. But in the beginning, one only sees externals. The whole idea is to create a mentality, right? The best of all levels of consciousness is that of a Brahmin. Because he's absorbed in gaining knowledge, which is a mode of goodness, is uplifting, right? Teaching this to others, you know. So this is the best. But why is it better? Because it's simply a mentality. The Kshatriya's mentality, I will protect, I will organize, I will do all these nice things. Right? I will generate, I will create all this funds and economics. So we see that it's very much based on it keeps going down. Right? Shudra is that, with what my mind has to offer. I have so many things I can do. What I can create, what I can design, what I can do, how many amazing ways I can put it together. Right? So these are mentalities that are engaged in Krishna service, but that's the important thing is we're engaged. So therefore these opportunities are given. But why is stressed? The Brahminical is higher is because that's the mentality everybody should try to attain. What the body is doing, if it's doing any of these, it doesn't matter. Right? Whether the child is giving the mother a blade of grass or he's giving a very nice flower, it doesn't matter. It's the mentality that's important. Right? So Krishna will accept anything. Right? If it's done to please him. So the mentality is the most important. Then within that, okay, gaining knowledge, all these things. But then of that, real Brahman is a Vaishnava. And a Vaishnava is then one who is fully surrendered. So then one always has something to try to take the consciousness higher and higher. Because if one doesn't have a higher goal, one won't get there, right? With a goal, you move. If there's no goal, you don't move. Right? So then attaining pure love for Krishna is a goal that can be worked at eternally. Right? But just to, okay, you know, I have this problem and I'll just do this, it's done now. And then that's it. So these higher goals are important. Means you have your, you know, minute-to-minute, moment-to-moment goals, but you have to have bigger goals and then bigger than that goals, you know. What am I going to do today? Okay, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do today? What am I going to do this week? What am I going to do this year? What am I going to do this lifetime? What am I going to do eternally? So always have to have all these levels like that in mind. So the body is something that is engaged. The mind, the intellect, they're just engaged. But what's more important is the consciousness in which you're engaged. Right? Means engagement according to piety is good, better than impiety. But still there's no relationship with Krishna. So the soul won't be satisfied. Only when you connect it to Krishna, then there'll be satisfaction. Okay? Any other questions? How does a neophyte devotee offer their emotions to Krishna? Is try to establish proper emotions based on directions that Krishna gives. Emotions are connected with relationships. Now, the lower emotions then are connected with the senses. The higher emotions are connected with other people. Right? We have to be able to first distinguish between these two kinds of emotions. Because the modern culture doesn't distinguish like that. As long as some sensation happens in the body, it's called an emotion. And there's no distinction made between higher and lower. So something that is simply connected with the senses meeting sense objects, then mind feels some sensation. So that's called an emotion. But that's a lower emotion. So those need to be controlled and brought into line with a higher emotion. Higher emotion means in a proper relationship between one person and another, specifically based on the five rasas. And then secondary, also on the secondary rasas. Then, if you want to engage it in Krishna's service, therefore then that rasa should act, should be performed according to Krishna's direction. So therefore the activity, mind is connected to the senses, the body. And to do an activity you need the intelligence, you know, and the senses. So then the relationship between people is based on Krishna's directions. And if one follows that with the proper mentality, then one engages one's emotions in Krishna's service. Right? Because they're using Krishna's standard of what is emotion, what is emotion, what is relationship, how that relationship is done. Then that creates proper. Otherwise, if we just do what we like, how we like, when we like, then where's the connection to Krishna? I feel like it. So, okay, nice. But what does Krishna have to say about it? You know? Yeah, you know, it's midnight. You feel like offering him an abhishek. He may prefer to sleep. No, but I want to do. You know, I'm a free individual. I should be able to do what I like, when I like, why I should be restricted. Yeah, but the point is that's okay, you and your senses. But you and some other living entity, then there has to be some proper way that there is a... It's not a one-way street. You know? Modern thing, it's a one-way street. It's either me to others or others to me. You never hear them talk about both. Right? If you're the victim, it's a one-way street, everyone to you. And when you're feeling fired up, then it's me out. But Vedic is different, is that both are happening at once. Then you have a relationship. Otherwise, it's just you and your senses. Other people become sense objects. Or you become a sense object. So it's a different platform. So we have to learn to distinguish between emotions. What is sensual and what is emotional? You know, emotions or mental emotions. Sensual can only be really when there's going to be something, then it may be experienced. And then the problem is it has a tendency to drop off. You know? And you know, what created an emotion today, after some time doesn't create. Because the senses become jaded. But mental emotions, based on relationship, they don't become disturbed. They can always be there. But one finds that there's a limit, like Gajendra, his family members, his wives. The emotional platform was there. They're sitting there. They're standing there for 1,000 years. That means that there's some feeling. He's sitting there trying to get himself out because they're standing there. He wants to be with them. Right? But then he sees they can't save him. So that is the limit of that emotion. It cannot save from death. Right? Therefore, you have to go beyond that to God. That is a relationship that can protect. Otherwise, he's thinking, my family members protect me, my wife protects me, all these things protect me. But then he finds, no, they don't. They have a limit. Oh yeah, they can protect the mind, they can protect, but they can't protect everything. So there's a limit. So when we understand that limit, that's where Krishna is. So if one understands that, one can bring Krishna all the way into these everything else. Because he gives the standard, how you relate, how you engage your senses. So that's the thing, is how relationships should work. And then act according to that. We may like it or not, but that's just the way it is. Right? Right? Just like Krishna meets the queens. He comes back. Right? Now, the queens send the sun. So then they send the sun, because the sun is the manifestation of their relationship. Right? The child means there is a relationship. Otherwise it wouldn't be a child. So it's the practical manifestation of relationship between husband and wife. So in that, because of the shining, sun is sent. Krishna embraces the sun and all this. Doesn't mean that out of the corner of his eye he's not looking at the wife. Wife is looking at him. So that emotional relationship is being maintained and enhanced. Well, if the wife simply comes over and embraces the husband, then immediately one switches to the senses. You know, the arm is touching his arm. And then the mental part has been lost. So it looks like, oh, this is so restrictive, where's the relationship? No, that's where the relationship is. The modern, that's where it's lost. Because they take relationship as senses. Sense meets sense object, then it's good relationship. Sense doesn't meet sense object, then what's the use? You know, it's emotional stuff, right? What is it called? They call it puppy love. Right? But the mature adults, they know what real love is, right? It's called lust. Just a burning pain. Young people don't feel that. It's a different thing. It's a yearning. The others, it's a pain because it's senses. But the other, that's emotion. But they don't know because the sense object, sense meeting sense object, that's taken as real. The emotional is higher. It's subtle. So higher than that is transcendental emotion, transcendental relationship. So the Vedic is how to maintain always the emotional platform, the mental platform. Then how to add at different times that are conducive, that will enhance that. Then you add in the sensual. Right? It's just like if you have a whole plate of prasad, and then you add in a few little, some achar and all this. So, now the idea, the Vedic idea is you have your plate, and then you have these extra things that add flavor. Right? Now, the modern is, oh, I have this nice plate, and as soon as I go for the achar, the plate disappears, and all I have is this nice little plate of achar that I'm eating. And the whole plate is forgotten. Right? Everything else, the rice, dal, sabji, all disappears. Right? Or if you're really a purist, you don't even bother with a plate of prasad. You just immediately just serve everyone a bowl of achar, you know. Get right into the, you know, what has the real taste. Why bother with all this other stuff? It's just fill, right? Rice and all that. It's just fill. The achar is where the taste is. So the Vedic is how to have, always have the meal, and then how to add at different times. Because it goes, the achar goes in certain places, right? Right? If you're drinking water and you eat the achar, it's not where it goes, you know? Or you take the lemon and put that on the achar and eat that. No. Like that. They have places where they go. What goes with what? You know, you put, you know, more sugar in the drink. You don't put more sugar on your chapatis. You know, so everything has its thing. So, therefore, the restrictions are there. Because you're dealing on a very high level, refined form of emotional exchange. That is simply a perversion of the transcendental. So ultimately, one is supposed to understand, one is not supposed to become distracted by that. Gajendra was distracted. That's the tendency. The neophyte properly practices these things and gets distracted. The nice family, the nice this, the nice, everything's so nice, they get distracted. So then Krishna has to now and again kind of shake things up so that we remember him. Right? That's the thing he has to do. Otherwise we'll forget. But the transcendental platform, everything's nice, but no one forgets Krishna. Because enjoying it oneself is not the point. It's the relationship with Krishna. Material world is perverted because your own enjoyment of the emotional and sensual platform is the primary. Though you're following Vedic culture. But the transcendental means you're following all those things simply to please Krishna. And in doing that, then real rasas taste, the highest rasas tasted, right? Because that's all that can be tasted by the living entity is rasa. Does that make sense? Anything else? How are we doing for time? Huh? Okay. Yes.
The last question is how much do we endeavor to achieve something? Like something, there are different things you should act, but you should endeavor as much as comfortable or the proper something you should strenuously endeavor. You should work harder than time is with your time. What is it?
Yeah. Yeah. You hear? So it's a matter of how much one should endeavor. So one should give one's full ability according to one's nature. So one has to fully use the body, the mind, and words in Krishna's service. So full endeavor is there. One can't generally surpass, by Krishna's grace, one can't surpass one's own natural conditioned abilities. But by Krishna's grace, that may be. But one gives full endeavor. Because the whole idea that endeavor is one's service. The endeavor is how you can show your devotion. And through that endeavor, that's where Krishna tastes the devotion. So full endeavor must be there. But the point is, the trouble comes is that of the fruitive mentality. Fruitive or means these karma and jnana, these mentalities. Yeah, all of them, also yoga. Means that if I'm going to get a result, I work. If I'm not going to get a result, why I should work? So you combine that with, in this material world, it's all illusion anyway. So why work? So then when we find out, we're working very hard for something, and then when we find out, well, actually it's all illusion, then why work? So then when we say, well, Krishna actually is the supreme controller, he's the cause of all causes, we're not the doer, then it's like, oh, then why I should work? Because we got some jnana. So then why I should work? No. It means the body, mind, that must be engaged in Krishna's service. Therefore we work harder than the karmis. Because the karmis are working simply for themselves. We're working to please Krishna. So why we shouldn't work harder? So what happens is just the conditioning clouds this. That the problem comes is because we only work because it's ours. And if it's not ours, well, we don't work. You know? Like that. So that's the thing, is that we have to learn that we're working for someone else. That's why in the Vedic culture there's so much emphasis put on service. And so much emphasis put on duty. Like that, is because it must be done. Because you have to learn that the activity should be done whether you're getting the benefit or not. It's your duty to do it. Right? Husband's duty is to take care of the families. Therefore, he works so hard. Whether he's getting much benefit out of it, that's another thing. But it's his duty to do it. Because then ultimately it comes to this point here. If you can do that, out of duty you work. Then when we say Krishna is the doer, I mean, he's the ultimate, we're not the doer. Then when we say, therefore, you do this work for Krishna, you can do it. Because it's already in your mind that I do work whether I'm getting benefit of the result or not. It's just my duty, right? Parents take care of the children, children take care of the parents, you know, everyone's taking all these things, all these duties that are there. Then you do it because ultimately you're supposed to add Krishna to that. Anything in the Vedic culture that is established and that is pushed, because ultimately it's to add Krishna to it. In the beginning we don't. We're sinful. Then we see, oh, piety is there. We get a better result, right? I'm sinful, I'm getting result. But if I'm pious, I get a better result. I get more, right? So then, you know, so I'm giving in charity to this, you know, this one and that one. But if I give in charity to qualified persons, then I get so much more, right? The other one, I gave $1, I get a dollar back. I give it to this person, I get $100,000 back. I mean, that's better. Right? So then we start this process. But ultimately it's supposed to be, we're supposed to give everything to Krishna. Right? You know, there's nothing more dear to us than the body, the mind, and the words. That's supposed to be given to Krishna. So all it is you take the transcendental activities of the spiritual world, bring it to the material world, remove Krishna consciousness. And because it's not all focused on Krishna, then you focus on what is like Krishna. Like Mother Yashoda is serving Krishna. Therefore, all mothers serve their child. Or all, you know, the gopis are serving Krishna. The queens at Dwarka are serving Krishna. Therefore, all wives serve the husband. All husbands serve the wife. Or Krishna and the cowherd boys, you know. So then, you and your friends, what is the relationship? Or his master and servant, then those relationship. Or the cows. So, all it is you just seemingly remove Krishna from it, but you keep the activity. Why? Because you're supposed to add Krishna into it when you want. It means when you become like Gajendra, you've tried everything, and it's not working, then you decide to surrender to Krishna. Then Krishna can be added, because that's the way it works. Mother Yashoda deals with Krishna like this, therefore it works, it goes very nicely. You know? Then you can relate to the whole thing very nice. Krishna's happy in that culture. It's very easy to engage. You know how to control the senses, right? You know how to do all these different activities. Like Krishna's on the swing, the other cowherd boys aren't, hey, I want to swing, and push Krishna off the swing, and they get on the swing. No, everybody's happy to see Krishna on the swing. So that means senses have to be controlled. Right? They have to be well-wisher of the other person they have the relationship with. They must serve. They must be well-wisher. Anything with it. It's not that, oh, the cowherd boy only likes Krishna and doesn't like all these other friends. Well, it'd be really great if we could get rid of all these other boys, then I could have a really deep relationship with Krishna. No, you accept all of Krishna's friends. The cowherd boys accept Krishna's parents. Right? They accept Krishna's girlfriends. You know, that this is all part of Krishna, so therefore they deal with everybody nicely. Right? And they have the same mood as Krishna. Krishna wants to play, they're playing with Krishna. Krishna wants to, you know, dance, they're dancing with Krishna. So that is the mood of the servant. So that is chastity. That is brahmacharya. So the whole Vedic culture is based on this principle of what servant. So as a man, it manifests as brahmacharya. As a woman, it manifests as chastity. That's the root of the whole thing. And to do that, you have to control the senses. You have to have a service attitude. Because then you want to serve Krishna. Otherwise, then why I should serve Krishna? Right? Mayavadis don't have a service attitude. Yogis don't have a service attitude. Right? Karmis don't have a service attitude. They're active, but no service attitude. Right? They're simply seeing what they get back. Oh, if I'm pious and I deal like this, then I'll get this benefit, that benefit. Oh, if I don't do this, I don't take care of the wife and children, then I won't make it to heavenly planets. Right? He stays in the house, takes care. He wants to leave, go to the fort. He doesn't, because if he goes for a higher benefit, material benefit, without taking care of their benefits, like a man, he has so much money. He gives it all away in charity and doesn't take care of the family, and they're all suffering. Right? So that charity won't give him any benefit. It'll send him to hell. Because he's not maintaining the family while he's giving to others for his own benefit. So he'll go to hell. Like that. If the family is very happy, yes, you know, we are a pious family, we give everything away, then fine, yes. Then they're all happy with it. So all these things, but he's only doing because what benefit he'll get. It's only out of fear. If I do this, I'll get. If I don't do this, I'll go to hell. So it's not actually a service mood. But at least the externals of it are there. So that you're used to serving, prasad, taking care, you know, being responsible, like that. Then when you enact that in Krishna consciousness, it'll all work very nicely. The culture will be easy for you to follow. Like that. Otherwise, then, if one's not used to the Vedic culture, it's always a struggle. There's a tendency will be towards harshness, not following the Vedic things, like that, you know, inability to follow, not wanting to follow them, inability to follow them. So they're a problem. It's a problem. But if one is accustomed to it, then it becomes very easy. Relationships, the day-to-day interaction between people just works very nicely. Because one is accustomed to following it, And two, the rules of the Vedic culture are there in place to make sure that sometimes, as we are conditioned, we don't make these mistakes. You know, we would do this, but we don't. You feel like saying so many things to the person, but you don't, because it's not the etiquette. Right? Like that. So activity must be fully done, but it's always good to adjust, how you say, see what kind of activity Krishna likes done, and then give full effort to that. And then the result, that's up to Krishna. But we always try for the best result, because it's for Krishna. But since it's Krishna's result, he may give best result or not, that's up to him. But we always try for the best result. That's it. Anything else? Or is
it, okay. The abilities and knowledge, this thing, when Krishna has given us this vision, this service, that it is very sad. But what about sometimes? I think that some devotees feel that I have to learn something, I have to get some knowledge, then I
means if we're able to gain a particular knowledge, that's our ability. If we can't gain it, then we shouldn't over-endeavor. Means if we're doing a small thing, that should be learned very quickly. If we're doing a big thing, it takes more time. Now, if that is useful in Krishna's service, we have the ability, fine. And our authorities say it's good. Then we do it. Right? Just like Hridayananda Maharaj. He had this great desire to learn Sanskrit. So he bought all these Sanskrit books and everything, stacked them on his desk, was looking at them. Then at some point, I think he wrote Prabhupada or asked, you know, about Sanskrit, learning Sanskrit, fired up to learn Sanskrit. Prabhupada said, you know, it's not really important, you know, like that. We have so much preaching, because he was doing college preaching. He was thinking, I'll know Sanskrit, I'll do so many things. So he said, don't worry about it. Like that. You just preach and all that. That way you become perfect. You just, you know, took the books, slid them off the desk into the garbage can. Just like that. And then he just preached. But then who is chosen later to translate the Bhagavatam? That's because he was surrendered. The Sanskrit means if it was his own thing, he'd hold on to it. No, well, Prabhupada, okay, I'll just look now and again. No, just probably got rid of it. Therefore, he's the qualified one to learn the Sanskrit. No, and did he have to spend years and years to learn it? No, it came very easily. Because it's the nature's there. Right? So that's it. It has to be under authority, and it should come easy and be able to be applied. And if these all aren't there, then there's not a whole lot of benefit. Not a whole lot of benefit. Okay, so we'll end here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Kainitai Govara Pema.